Blog Talk Radio.
We live.
We're live.
Live from Chicago and Las Vegas. You're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One.
It's Page One.
With LeVar and Mary.
With LeVar and Mary.
What is going on, Blog Talk Radio Nation? You are tuned into another edition of Page One with LeVar and Mary for this Friday night, May 17th, 2024. We're halfway through the month of May. So there is a lot of things happening. I want to kind of do a little bit of housekeeping before we even get started. So we will have tonight some topics to talk about. We will have, I promised last week that we will expand our After Dark conversations. We will do that tonight. We'll take a look at what's trending. We'll have the almanac. I have coming up in a few minutes, most interesting thing that I read this week. We also, if we have a little bit of time, may have a couple of smoking gun files tonight. So with all of that being said, I welcome aboard my wonderful friend Mary, who is on assignment tonight. How are you?
Yes, assignment. That's a good way of putting it. I am helping a friend out while they go and visit a residency here in Vegas. So
yes.
I'm good. So if any, I'm not torturing my assignment, I promise.
Yes, and I can't play Who Let the Assignment Out song because I don't have the rights to play it. Promise you this. I know we've talked about soon us expanding this show out.
Twitch.
And that will happen sooner than you think. So here's what I want you all to do. This is your homework assignment. If you are within the listening range of my voice, I want you to go to Twitch. I'm sorry.
Twitch.
I want you to go there. And I want you to follow a couple of pages. Reason being is because I would just like you to. You can follow this show's page on Twitch at News Comment Blog. In the meantime, Mary also has a Twitch. It's at Lou Eyes Mama. I want you to follow both. But I'm not going to tell you when. Just be following. And that's all I will say. So, yes.
Turn your notifications on.
Yes. Turn your notifications on. Thank you. Thank you. Have your notifications going. That we are not giving up this spot, but I think it will be a lot more fun over there because we may even sometimes add a couple of extra things. Things that you will not probably hear here. Just saying. There is a lot throughout the evening. There's a lot of breaking news, things that will come up in what's trending later on tonight. I just want to start even with one thing that we'll probably mention that broke kind of this afternoon. And I've got to say, I'm like about as disgusted as everyone else with the video that came out with Diddy. If you have not seen it, I'm not going to say go over and see it because it can trigger a lot for those of you who have gone through any type of domestic abuse. I will just say that it is the most disgusting thing I think I've ever seen. And it is hurtful to watch. Long story short, there is a video that has come up from 2016. I don't know why it took so long to get to the light of day, but back then Diddy was dating a singer by the name of Cassie. And back when she had said that he had abused her, a lot of people pretty much didn't believe her and said a lot of things about her. The video comes out today, CNN with the exclusive, and in it, you will see Diddy in a towel running down a hallway. He catches up with her. I don't know if she was at some other door. He grabs her, throws her down, kicks her, and then he grabs the bags that she had, and then he kicks her again. And by this time, he drags her off by the coat or her hair. I don't know which, or he attempts to. There is nothing that you can say to cover that in any way. If anything, I will be among the many to say, even I don't care if there's like, I hope there's not a statute of limitations, but based off that alone, he needs to be locked up no sooner than the end of tonight, if not by the end of this weekend. That's all I will pretty much say on that, because that is inexcusable overall. And it is so disturbing. It's the type of stuff that was always talked about with him, but to see it on a video, it's very disturbing. I'm not going to be, you know, a person that's going to tell you, oh, you got to go watch it. No, I would advise you don't. Like I said, especially if it's something that could trigger something, don't do that. But yeah, that's kind of all I want to add. That's one of the things that's trending tonight, because that kind of broke this afternoon. So, clear as day. And people who do that need to be locked away. So, all right, I'm on that rant. I'm off that rant now. Most interesting thing that I read this week is actually, there's two stories, but they're kind of the same. And then there is another one where this kind of, I will say, my wonderful friend Mary at times likes to, she likes to push the envelope on things that are considered other things, but there is an article here. So the article comes from the New York Post. It says, are burritos and tacos considered sandwiches? A judge has made a polarizing decree. Before we begin, would you consider a burrito and a taco a sandwich?
Burritos, no. They're a wrap. Tacos, depends on who's making them. Because Taco Bell kind of pushes the envelope on what is considered a taco. So it's a possibility that a taco is a burrito. Or a taco is a burrito. It's taco is a sandwich. Unless you think a hot dog is a taco.
This gets a little interesting. Well, an Indiana judge, even though he's a judge, we're going to have
to. Of course, Indiana.
Yes, yes. Of course, Indiana. Take that for what it's worth. An Indiana judge has seemingly settled the highly disputed sandwich definition debate after ruling that tacos and burritos fit the bill during a recent legal case. Superior Judge Craig Bobe declared the ruling per court document. He says that tacos and burritos are Mexican-style sandwiches. The rap battle was sparked in 2022 after a restaurateur, Martin Quintana, unveiled plans to open his restaurant, the famous Taco Mexican Grill, in the 11,000-square-foot Quintana strip mall in Fort Wayne. The Allen County Planning Commission rejected his bid based on a prior written commitment, which Quintana had accepted with the Neighborhood Housing Association. And pretty much, per the agreement, the only restaurants allowed at this facility were ones that didn't serve alcohol, prohibited outdoor seating, and only sold, quote, made-to-order or Subway-style sandwiches. The measure was designed to keep national fast food chains such as McDonald's out of the shopping center. However, the court ruled in Quintana's favor on Monday on the grounds that the proposed famous taco restaurant fit the definition outlined in the original written commitment. Judge Bobe ruled that tacos and burritos are Mexican-style sandwiches, adding that, quote, the original written commitment does not restrict potential restaurants to only American-style cuisine-style sandwiches. He added that it also allowed an establishment that serves made-to-order Greek gyros, Indian non-wraps, or Vietnamese, I'm going to get this so wrong, is it banh mi, thank you. If these restaurants comply with the other enumerated conditions, it's yet unclear when Famous Taco will open its doors to the public. Whether or not tacos and burritos constitute a sandwich has been a contentious subject online. Many people say that a taco can't by definition be considered a sandwich as it has a flour wrapper and not the requisite two slices of bread. One says the sandwich was born in Europe, declared one internet food aficionado, referring to the ubiquitous, nauseous, alleged invention in the 18th century by the Earl of Sandwich in the UK. The very essence of the sandwich is two slices of bread with something in the middle, usually a meat filling. Meanwhile, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the eat as, quote, two or more slices of bread or a split roll having a filling in between. Therefore, a tortilla-based treat would seemingly not fit the bill. Interestingly, New York sparked major controversy in culinary circles after listing burritos alongside hoagies, hot dogs, and gyros as sandwiches that are subject to sales tax. So, yes. Considered a sandwich in India.
I'm shaking my head. Because if it's if we're going under two slices of bread, then they're made to order sandwiches. That whole ruling to keep out McDonald's doesn't, because they make to order their burgers that are between two slices of bread. That would be a sandwich. Like, here we go. It's so
yeah.
Bad.
Which is the most confusing. And then from a file of two stories that are the same, but I don't think anybody talked to each other, I'm going to give you the first story. And then the second story almost kind of follows suit. But the first one says, if you ever got cut off pretty much by a boisterously souped-up car and called the driver a psycho, you may be right, according to new research claims. Myth by a seemingly growing number of modified mufflers and beefed-up engines wrecking havoc on the road, one put upon psychology professor couldn't help but wonder, who really wants to make this kind of noise? He says that every day we come across these loud cars and pickup trucks and motorcycles that are backfiring, and I get startled. According to Julie Aiken Shermer of Western University in London, she told the CBC, she says, my dog was startled. I see the animals run away. They're in the trees and squirrels on the ground. And so what she found can acutely be summarized in the title of her pioneering 2023 report, A Desire for a Loud Car with a Modified Muffler is Predicted by Being a Man in Higher Scores on Psychopathy and Sadism. She interviewed and administered personality tests to 529 young people, a majority of them men, about noisy cars, muffler mods, and if driving one made them feel, quote, cool. She said she found that it was sadism and psychopathy predicting who wants to modify their mufflers, who feels more connected to their vehicle, and they think loud cars are really cool. It seems to be the callous disregard for other people's feelings and their reactions. That's the psychopathy coming out. It's also they probably get a kick out of enjoying watching people get startled. In New York City, those vehicles make so much of a public and quality of life disturbance that an exhaustion from exhaust local government is launching specialized noise cameras to crack down on inconsiderate drivers. She admitted that not all loud car lovers share traits with a very dangerous sect of criminals, but she says that the personality profile she found with loud mufflers is also the same personality profile of people who illegally commit arson, she said.
So loud mufflers equals arson. Got it.
That's what she said.
So I need a loud muffler. I mean, that's awful. I don't want to set stuff on fire today. No.
But not to be confused with another study, it says that new research has found that people who commonly text and drive are concerningly associated with psychopathic behavior. The new data from interviews with nearly 1,000 German drivers, about 73% of them women, found a shocking 600-plus participants, or about 61%, admitted to problematic use of their devices while driving, along with connections to fear of missing out and antisocial behavior. Problematic smartphone users evoked three negative traits known as the dark triad: narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy, which unrelated research also recently connected to drivers with the loud cars. They said that the problematic smartphone use is an excellent predictor regardless of the dark triad personality traits, and they added that the potential prescription for addressing the issue. Pretty much with this, they said that since the factor can be changed more easily than personality, PSU should be targeted in public safety interventions, driving training, and court-mandated medical psychological assessment of driver fitness. The research team also proposed other ways to curb the habitual use of cell phones. They said it would be a good strategy to help people reduce their PSU in everyday life, which should indirectly decrease the chances of using their phones on the road and prevent accidents and fatal crashes. So once again, if you
don't
do that while you're driving,
yeah,
you're crazy. You're a psychopath.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
So pretty much loud. So if you have a loud muffler and if you text while you're driving, you really are crazy.
So then some of my coworkers are definitely crazy.
You said it, I didn't.
they know who they are.
We're not dropping names, but you know who you are. So yes.
They don't listen to the show.
You never know. You never ever know. But yes, that is the... Yeah, I agree. That is the most interesting thing in study that is going on. So yes, those few things. I actually had a couple of others from last week that I left. I don't think I talked about the... No, I did talk about the farting cows last week, right?
I'm sorry, did you talk about what?
I said I talked about the farting cows last week. I'm trying to remember if I did.
No, I would have remembered farting cows. What?
Oh, I thought I did. Well,
no.
Well, I'm glad I left that study up. Well, it says that it's no need to make a steak, but controlling bovine flatulence could be the key to helping curb global warming. New research suggests that breeding dairy cows to fart less, therefore release less methane, could cut down on greenhouse gases. The team from Curtin University Sustainability Policy Institute in Australia combed through 27 reports, drawing conclusions about various ways to curb methane emissions in the dairy and beef sectors in the country. Food production is one of the leading causes of climate change. Livestock farming accounts for about 10% of greenhouse gas emissions, with one 2020 study finding that burps and farts from cattle, as well as manure management, are a significant contributor to global warming. The latest study published in the journal Climate this month and the first of its kind suggests that transforming farmland into forest or wetland would be the most effective at reducing methane, but breeding less gassy cows may also be an avenue worth exploring. They said that, for example, changing what breeding objectives include can permanently reduce methane production. Studies have found low-emission cattle have inheritable genetic traits, which could significantly reduce methane production if included in national breeding objectives. More research is necessary to determine the traits to breed for in cattle for the lowest possible methane emissions. And researchers have previously attempted to potty train cattle to curb the effects of cow urine that contains ammonia, which when mixed with soil becomes the greenhouse gas nitrous oxide. In 2021, a team of scientists successfully trained dairy cows to use a special pen called the Mulu to do their business, encouraging them to urinate on AstroTurf without harming the environment. If the cattle used the Mulu, they were rewarded with sugar water. If they relieved themselves outside, they were sprayed with water for 3 seconds. They said this is how some people train their children. They put them on the toilet, wait for them to pee, then reward them if they do it. The cows adapted the new habit quickly, with 11 out of the 16 cattle learning to use the Mulu, which is equivalent or superior to human children. They say if we could collect 10 to 20% of urinations it would be sufficient to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and nitrate leaching significantly. What you didn't know about cows and farting.
Farting methane, creating cows, are causing global warming.
Yep.
That's ending up on a t-shirt somewhere. Ending up in a t-shirt somewhere.
I kind of feel like that is a part of our
my
animal
cow
story.
Farts to warm the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. but you know what? That was the scariest thing, though. I saw something one time where there was who went out because the cow was so bloated, and they put like this needle in the side of the cow, and it was letting out what looked to be like fire, like, you know, like if you lit up like a gas stove, and it was like that nitrous oxide. I believe it when I see it, because it looks like you turned on a stove inside the cow. And they said that if it becomes too built up, it's really bad for the cow. But yeah. Who knew?
You know, I lived in a farm town. It smells like money when those cows are going. So yeah, no, I believe it too. I believe it too.
Yeah, man. So think about that next time that you drink gas, drink milk, and it makes you gassy. So yes.
Maybe cows are lactose intolerant.
If they are, that
they're
would
sensitive.
Probably be the funniest
they're
thing.
They're lactose ever. Sensitive. That's why they fart.
Yes. Well, even then, if a cow drinks milk, is that a part of cannibalism? Because that would...
Maybe.
And that goes
into
That goes into an after dark thing of people retaking in their own stuff, and that gets a little out of the way. I'm not even going to go
there. Let's stop that before it starts.
Not going there. Anyway, the Almanac. It is May 17th, and as we stated, we are pretty much at the halfway point of the month. As far as this show is concerned, we have a couple of more weeks, and then I know here in the States, next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of you will have three-day weekends, and then we, after that, come to the end of the month, and then we go into June. June brings us here in the U.S. Father's Day, as well as Flag Day and Juneteenth, all those happening. But coming up today, it is National Graduation Tassel Day. I still have my graduation tassels from grammar school, high school, and college.
Nice. I never had a tassel for grammar school.
No?
But I do have mine from high school and college.
Okay. That's cool. I know a lot of people used to put them in their cars around the rearview mirror. I don't think people can do that anymore because it's illegal to have things in the rearview mirror. But yes, tassels if you still have them. I don't want to know what most of you do with your tassels, but that's your own business. National
as long
Walnut
as you can get
Day.
Them swinging.
Yeah. That's a skill. National Walnut Day is also today. It's also NASCAR Day, National Pizza Party Day. So did you have pizza today?
No.
Oh.
But the day is still young. The sun is still out where I'm at, so.
Well, it's now dark here, and for most of you, you are probably laying in bed listening to the show, and it's close to early morning, probably for quite a few of you. It is also National Bike to Work Day and National Bike to School Day. I do know someone that rode their bike to work today. I think it was an electric bike, which is pretty cool. And National Defense Transportation Day. It's National Cherry Cobbler Day. National Pack Rat Day. Would you consider yourself a pack rat?
That is a very nice way of saying hoarder, so yes.
No, I think, well, I mean, is it different or is it the same?
It's the same. things. I am not one to get rid of things, and I need to get forced to get rid of things, so I am a hoarder.
All right. It's also National Endangered Species Day. Tomorrow, it's National Cheese Soufflé Day. It's also National No Dirty Dishes Day. So, no dirty dishes. Not sure if that's the same as no wire
doesn't,
hangers.
Doesn't work. Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't work the same.
No.
No.
May 18th is also National Visit Your Relatives Day. It's National Learn to Swim Day. It's National HIV Vaccine Awareness Day. Armed Forces Day, the third Saturday in May. It's National Devil's Food Cake Day on Sunday. It's also National Take Your Parents to the Playground Day, the third Sunday in May.
I need to talk to kiddo then. Huh? You're like, you're going to take me to, you are going to playground.
Push you in the swing.
into the concrete wall. Yeah, of course he's going to push me.
It's also National May Ray Day. National Quiche Lorraine Day is on Monday the 20th. It's also National Sugar Bee Apple Day. National Streaming Day is on May 20th. May 20th is also National Rescue Dog Day.
Love them rescue dogs.
Yes.
If you can.
It's National Pick Strawberries Day. It's National Be a Millionaire Day. The 21st gives us National Memo Day. And it's National Strawberries and Cream Day. National Waitstaff Day. It's National American Red Cross Founders Day on May 21st. And then on the 22nd, it's National Craft Distillery Day. For many of you on May 22nd, it is also National Solitaire Day. So if you play solitaire on your computer, which is on literally every computer, the start of EMS week next week. So it's Emergency Medical Services for Children Day. National Vanilla Pudding Day is on May 22nd. The 22nd is also National Buy a Musical Instrument Day.
No. I have recorders. Does that count?
Yes.
Okay, then I don't need to buy one.
Well, I mean, you can buy a harmonica. Maybe a tambourine. Tangerine.
I could buy a tangerine, sure.
It's also National Maritime Day. The 23rd brings us National Taffy Day. It is National Lucky Penny Day. Then the 24th, next Friday, it is National Yucatan Shrimp Day. It is National Cooler Day. So if you have a cooler, break it out. National Wyoming Day. It is Brothers Day.
Wyoming does not exist. I don't know why there's a day for it. One person you know from Wyoming.
But, former Vice President Dick Cheney is from Wyoming.
And you can see how that turned out. That is not real.
Right. Wyoming. It's Aviation Maintenance Technician Day, National Escargo Day, National Scavenger Hunt Day, National Don't Fry Day, meaning outside, don't fry, so put on your sunscreen. And next Friday is also National Road Trip Day, the Friday before Memorial Day. Really the unofficial kickoff and start to summer in some ways. So, and there you go. So, yeah, so next Friday night, well, when we see you again, it'll be the start of the Memorial Day holiday, 3-day weekend. Pretty much after that, no vacation until July 4th. And then after that, Labor Day in September. So, and the way that this year is going, it will be Thanksgiving and Christmas and Halloween before you know it. Probably Halloween candy will probably go on sale next week.
I was going to say, yeah.
Got to start early.
July 4th stuff is already up.
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding. I think they're using the Memorial Day holiday for that, but yeah.
Yeah, got to start early. So here's the deal. I don't like to always blame the system, but I had in the system the Retro Moments of the Week for tonight. So here's what we're going to do. Because, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention at the top of the broadcast for those of our friends who are overseas. One of the other big stories coming out this week was that for Mary and I, it's a personal thing, that our Chicago Bears will be going over to play across the pond in London. So, yes. So, yes.
It's on a very special day as well.
Yes, it is a very special day. October 13th in London, the Bears will play. I think that day, October 13th, isn't that National French Pastry Day or something? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, something like that. Something ridiculous.
No,
it's National Dance Like a Monkey Day.
No, it's your birthday.
National Dance Like a Monkey Day.
No, it's your birthday. And I think, you know, it's very rare the Bears not only play on her birthday, but it's, you know, it is overseas in London. So hopefully those of you over in the UK will have a chance to catch the Chicago Bears when they play. But as I was going to say with the Retro Mode of Week, I had something planned. And I had them in here. And it's
Don't let him fool you. He was lying.
No, I actually, this week I was early, and I had them in here since Wednesday. And for some odd reason, they're not in the system. And the system's not allowing me to download any quick clips that I can put in. So I'm only going, this is going to be a rare night in which I'm only going to do one at this juncture, and I'll play another one later on. So I will tell you right now, you have about 1 minute if you need to go and grab some water or a drink. This retro moment is only one. It will last about close to 57 seconds. So go grab a drink and come right back. And then we're going to get into talking about some serious things tonight. A couple of topics that I'm sure is probably going to take us to the top of the hour before we get into after dark. So stay right there. We'll be right back after this.
Have you noticed? You hear something new at fountains today. People who think young say, Pepsi, please.
The lively crowd today agrees. Those who think young say, Pepsi, please. They pick the right one, the modern light one. Now it's Pepsi for those who think young. When you say, Pepsi, please, you're putting yourself among people who like their leisure with Pepsi, the drink that's young. So go ahead and pick the drink that lets you drink young as you think. Yes, get the right one, the modern light one. Now it's Pepsi for those who think young.
You're listening to Page One.
Page One.
With LeVar and Mary. Your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Welcome back to this episode of Page One with LeVar and Mary for this Friday night, May 17th, 2024. So we usually like to stay on top of at least some stories that happen throughout the week. And I will say, you know, it's always interesting when someone generally has what can be deemed as controversial statements come out, and there are, well, it used to be probably a point of where the majority of folks would probably kind of all be on the same page. But, of course, with the way that things are nowadays, it has been quite a down-the-line response. Harrison Buck, who is a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, attacked pretty much some ways working women and quoted a Taylor Swift lyric at Benedictine College last weekend. He pretty much, as they say, according to the article, aggravated one of the internet's biggest culture wars by telling a class of college graduates that one of the, quote, most important titles a woman can hold is homemaker. During a commencement speech last weekend, Benedictine, which is a Catholic liberal arts school in Atchison, Kansas, Bucker rallied against abortion, Pride Month, and COVID-19 lockdown measures. Drawing the most viral backlash this week, however, was a section of his speech in which he addressed the female graduates specifically, telling them that it's women who have had, quote, the most diabolical lies told to them. He says, how many of you are sitting here now about to cross the stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, he said, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. Now, the criticisms that followed took aim at him as well as the NFL, where he pretty much went on to tell graduates that his wife would agree that her life, quote, truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. He says it is her embrace of the role, he said, that made his own professional success possible. His comments share similarities with some of the most extreme ideas around gender roles that have gained traction in communities that promote, quote, the trad wife lifestyles or other relationship dynamics that center on traditional gender roles. Now, one of the filmmakers, Michael McWhorter, who's known by his more than 6 million TikTok followers as Tizzy Entertainment, said, listen, there's nothing wrong with his wife being a homemaker. Homemakers are wonderful. That's not the point. He says the point is he seemed to be acting as if you should be ashamed if you don't want to be a homemaker, or I know what you really want to do is just stay home and have babies. Now, the speech was the latest incident to add fuel to the flames of this increasingly vocal cultural battle, much of which is playing out online. And while many prominent people have voiced such beliefs before, they're usually confined to internet forums, podcasts, or other online communities where those ideologies thrive. Now, a spokesman for Bucker did not immediately respond to a request for comment from NBC, and Benedictine College and the Kansas City Chiefs kind of came out and they kind of distanced themselves from what he said. A spokesperson for the NFL told People magazine that his speech, that he gave a speech in his own personal capacity and that his views are not those of the NFL as an organization and that the NFL is steadfast in their commitment to inclusion, which only makes their league stronger. Now, Bucker, who is teammates with Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, further drew surprise and criticism when he quoted Kelce's girlfriend Taylor Swift, whose career success as a global pop star has inspired college courses. He says, as my teammate's girlfriend says, familiarity breeds contempt, drawing murmurs from the crowd as he used the bejeweled lyric as an analogy for why Catholic priests should not become overly familiar with their parishioners. In the days since his speech, a change.org petition for the Chiefs to dismiss him for discriminatory remarks has garnered nearly 19,000 signatures. Those who have criticized his speech online include actor Bradley Whitford, as well as Flavor Flav. There's been a lot more in recent days, but he's also had people come to his defense, such as media personalities Clay Travis and Jason Whitlock, who defended his statements toward women. I am going to ask you, because even Whoopi Goldberg on The View last week, well, she came out and said that he is entitled to his own, whether she agreed with that opinion was no, but I guess at this stage of the game, one, what did you think about his comments? And two, when someone makes those particular remarks and they are representative of an organization, but they did it on the outskirts or outside, he didn't do it on a playing field, are they subject to that pass of their comets in that regard? I also had a third question, but I'm going to leave that because I have a feeling you're probably going to answer it somewhere along the lines.
So I agree with Whoopi. He's allowed to have his wrong opinion. He's allowed to voice his wrong opinion. That's the beauty of having the right to free speech. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to listen to it. That's the other part of the right to free speech. You can talk all you want. I don't have to agree with you. Even better, I could change channel. I feel bad for the women that were in the crowd that worked hard to get to be able to walk the stage, because that is, regardless of gender, regardless of sexuality, regardless of race, ethnicity, age, I don't care who you are, to be able to walk the stage and get a degree, bra, freaking vo. That is a hard thing to do. So my congratulations to everyone that has either is going to be graduating soon or has graduated and has gotten their degree. So he's allowed, like I said, I agree with Whoopi. He's allowed to have his wrong opinion. There are people out there that want to be a stay-at-home parent. Mom, dad, whatever you want to call them. Bonus parents, and that's a noble job profession to have. Some people can't. It's not in the cards. I couldn't. If I was a stay-at-home parent, we wouldn't have a home to stay in. I had
right.
to work. I had to be there. I had to be the breadwinner because there was no other breadwinner to be had in my family at that point. So I understand the option to do that. I also understand the desire to be that. And I understand that it's not the choice for everyone. And not everyone wants kids. Not everyone wants to be married. Not everyone wants to be married with kids. Some people want to be married but not have kids. Some people don't want to be married and want to have kids. Like, there's a million ways to do this, and it is not right for anyone to dictate, like, hey, your biggest accomplishment is going to be pushing a watermelon-sized thing out of your hoo-ha. Congratulations! Like, dude, shut up. Okay? As someone who has tried to push a watermelon out of her hoo-ha, thank you very much. Nah. It is a big accomplishment because it's a lot. But, dude, no. There's been a lot of things in my life that I think are bigger accomplishments than being able to lay on a table and have a baby ripped out of me. And I would not regret, I don't regret one day of having that happen. But I think I have bigger accomplishments than that. Like, you know, raising that baby to be a pretty good person, you know, to have a personality of their own. So I think that's a bigger accomplishment in my book. I also think it's a big accomplishment that I could do that and have a job and use my brain. There is an accomplishment. But so that's my opinion on his speech. I can go hours talking about that, so I'm going to cut it off there. As for your second question, I don't – okay, if this was any other job – and you were talking to your friends around the bonfire, I would tell you, you should not get have that held against you. I don't think recruiters should be able to look at your Instagram photos and your Instagram profile or your TikTok profile and use that as a reason to hire or not hire you. I think that that is a very separate thing. Mm-hmm. However, in this case, he's talking to a group of people who have gone through three plus years because some of them only went through three plus years of higher education. Use your effing brain, okay? Like, at that point. Do I think he should be fired? No. But do I think he should be reprimanded? Absolutely. And I think that should follow him everywhere. Like, be like, okay, Yeah, you're hiring him on to be your kicker. Be careful, because he's also this type of personality. And if you're okay with that, then you're okay with that. But yeah, like, this is a little bit higher level than I'm just sitting around taking Instagram photos and saying, I'm a trad wife, where, and then going and trying to get a job and having the job go, you know what, saw your Instagram photo that said I'm a trad wife, but this is not traditional if you're going to come and work for me, so I guess I'm going to help you be traditional wife here and not hire you. I think that's wrong. But what he did, I think you should follow him. Should he get fired? It might be extreme. But I wouldn't be sad if he got fired. He's a kicker. He can go find some other thing to do.
I find the irony of someone who is trying to tell you to be a Stepford wife and the hypocrisy of someone who is trying to tell you to do that, also trying to tell you what you can do with your body.
Well, no, those are the same. Those are the same people.
Tend
to be the same people.
They're always the same people. But you see where the irony of this all goes. We want you to be this, but you can't do that. So.
Well, yeah, because they want you to do this as their rules. They're the ones that control that. That's what they want.
And that's where it starts. And then they're going to want you to look a particular way. They might say, hey, we want everybody to be 120 pounds soaking wet, and we want you to have blonde hair and these color eyes. And if you have that, we don't know. You know, the thing is that he is entitled, as much as it pains me, he is entitled to his wrong opinion. But this is where he kind of differs from the rest of us. Because if I had gone somewhere and made a statement like that, I guarantee you that somewhere within that audience, someone would say, man, where does he work at? I disagree with him wholeheartedly. And then try to get in touch with my employer and say, he said this. Is this what you all believe? And especially for him, because he is on a higher level to where he is an athlete playing in a sport in which people go to pay and see you. And you are on TV. Sorry, whether you ask for it or not, you kind of are held to a little bit of a different standard. So with what you say is going to come a lot of people who are not going to agree with your outdated thinking. I get from a standpoint if he had said, hey, being a parent is the greatest thing in the world. If you have an opportunity to do that, do so with, you know, the utmost of, like, everything you got in you. If he had said that, I would have been like, you're fine. But the fact that you're trying to tell women that they've been told wrong, it's almost like he said, because it's how you take it. We all talk about optics and how things look. The way he said it was almost like, hey, people telling you to stand up for your own and do this and do that, you've been brainwashed because you're supposed to be doing this. Now go make me a sandwich. That's pretty much what he said. You can't put it any other way. And I know people are going to be like, well, Lamar, that's not what he said. He said that, you know, vocation to being a wife. Yeah, I get that. But you also have to look at the optics of how it was said. Now, I'm kind of curious to see if his wife tomorrow wanted to say, hey, you know what, honey? I want to go out and I want to do this type of work and do all of this. It makes me wonder if he would be open to her doing that. Probably
I don't
not.
Think so.
Probably not.
I would love to see his wife become like a TikTok influencer or YouTube influencer, and then that come back and bite him in the butt because now she's working.
Yeah.
That's work. That's a job. She's getting paid.
And the other thing is that those comments are a slap in the face to every woman out there that does not, it's almost like it's a slave mentality of telling somebody that you should do this instead of being independent and deciding that you want to do both or do whatever you want to do. You know, and that was, and that's why I was like, I'm sitting here listening to this speech, and I was like, I had to look at the calendar. I was like, this is 2024. And it's almost like some portions of society are afraid of people thinking on their own, fighting back against inequalities or wrongs. And I'll kind of get to that in a second as we talk about what's trending. But it's almost like people in this era of how we're living are going to say the most outlandish thing that they were probably thinking of for a while, but couldn't really say it until recently, and are willing to die on that hill of that belief, knowing that times have now changed. People have now changed. Situations have now changed. And if we live by a past that is antiquated, out of date, it brings other ugly things around as well. Because people who so-called want to make things the way it used to be tend to forget that while some things the way it used to be were other little different things that were a part of that how it used to be were not okay. It held people back. It killed people. And it did a bunch of other stuff that has caused a lot of damage that has taken years to get through. So when you say how people should be, this old 1950s housewife thing of, no, you should be at home and you should be a housewife, that's a fine vocation. That's a slap in the face to all those women that work their asses off to get that degree so that they can do what they want to do. You don't need to sit there and
rest. That's a slap in the face of those moms out there.
Yeah.
That weren't staying home.
You don't need to waste your graduation speech on telling somebody to do this. What you should have said or what you should have done in your speech was to encourage them to be the best member of society that they could be no matter what they do. That's where he failed those graduates on that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So
I would love to see if any of his teammates who had single moms say something.
Pretty sure for the sake of like them all being on a team and having to get along, they probably are not going to kind of like, it's going to be a distraction. But I'm pretty sure they're not. There actually was an interview that came up from a while back where Patrick Mahomes was on Pat McAfee's show, and they asked him if he interacts with the kicker. And he said something to the fact, which in now in hindsight, it looks kind of bad. He said, no, I really don't talk to him throughout the season. He said, I might say a thing to him, but we don't interact like that. And I was like, there's probably a reason he said that. Now we kind of can see why. But it is what it is. I'm not going to say that you have to suspend them or this and this and that and that. But it brought up to mind.
There should be
too.
Some kind of consequence to it. Just be like, you know, hey, you really embarrassed our company.
Here's the sticky wicket to that. He could come back and say, I didn't say it after a game or during the season. I did this on my own accord during a graduation speech at a place that I was invited to speak to. And I spoke my mind, and then he's going to go into the whole First Amendment rights. And
which
that's
is true. Which is true. All of that is true, but he still should have some kind of consequence.
I agree. But you know that somebody from a civil liberties perspective is going to say, you know, if that's the case, then we're going to start looking at everybody else that says something, whether it's right or wrong, and ask you to start penalizing them if we don't agree with it. And that's where we
and
have come.
And they have. That's the problem.
I know. People bought up Colin Kaepernick this week. They was like, hey, man, look at what happened to him. You know, things that he said outside, and well, things he did too, but things outside, he got kind of blackballed for. And they were saying, you know, this is kind of along those same lines, except he said it in a graduation speech, and nothing's going to happen. So, you know, it is. And as much as I want to kind of go that route and tell people about that, all that's going to happen is that it's going to fall on deaf ears because they're going to say, well, Colin did this during the game. Blah. Yes, but he was also standing up for what he believed in. You know, granted, whatever it was, and yeah, it did happen on the NFL field, but he also spoke strongly about it outside of that. And for that, he pretty much lost the rest of his playing career. You know, you get kind of tired after a while of trying to point out, you know, the hypocrisy of some things that happen compared to that. And it makes it look in hindsight now that one person was fighting for a just cause, albeit one that ruffled a lot of feathers, and another person is fighting for their own self-causes or what they kind of feel is, you know, a step back in time. And it's not right, but they think it is, and yet nothing happens to them because of it. But at the end of the day, the punishment it seems that is the fact that a lot of people who were looking at him before are now looking at him in a new light. I don't know if the team will go to him and say, hey, man, throughout the season, don't say another word about this. We don't need that headache. We don't need it. And they probably will. I don't know if there's going to be anything internally. They will probably come out and release a statement distancing themselves from him. But I can't see them doing that only because of First Amendment rights. I can't see the NFL doing anything about it because he didn't come out and say anything that other people haven't already said. It wasn't anything that was like racist or even though it was misogynistic. But he's going to say, well, it was received well by where he was at. And actually the odd thing that happened today was that now his jersey is one of the top selling jerseys on NFL.com, which is why I think that the league
probably so that, you know, when he does end up losing all of his stuff, everybody's going to be like, I have a jersey.
Yeah. I would hope it would be more for a bonfire than anything, but that's not going to happen.
Effigies, anyone?
No, bonfire. I'm not going to say the E word. I'm just going to say a bonfire. It's still cool outside. Yes, that is a very interesting thing. It will be interesting to see what they do. I would like them to do the right thing and to kind of do what you said, but my faith in entities doing the right thing nowadays is kind of lost. Like I said, it's not merit of a suspension, but it is merit of them kind of rebuffing publicly what he has said. And his teammates kind of stepping up and saying, well, no, I'm pretty sure Travis Kelce might have a word because he used his girlfriend's own words to further his agenda. But I'm pretty sure that will happen on a one-on-one basis. Andy Reid doesn't run that type of ship, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be handled internally.
And that's fine too. It doesn't have to be a public thing. It can be totally internal, as long as there's something said. Like, dude, really? It's 2024.
Right.
You need to shape up this about kind of thing.
Yeah. So that, I think that's what's going to happen, and we will pretty much see it from that way. Another story that was of interest here is that a number of U.S. workers are cheating on employer drug tests by tampering with urine samples or using other means to evade detection, according to new research. This from CBS News, the percentage of employees who tried to fake the results of workplace drug screenings jumped more than sixfold in 2023 from the previous year, according to Quest Diagnostics, which is a national drug testing company. From there, the surge in workers trying to hide their drug use comes as more states across the U.S. legalize recreational marijuana use. The shifting legal environment and changing societal norms around cannabis use is forcing employers to review their drug testing policies. The chief aim of employer-mandated drug tests is to ensure a safe workplace, while recreational drug use can also affect worker productivity. According to Dr. Suhash Hiranmoyee, he says that workforce drug testing exists because it's intended as a deterrence mechanism. That's why it was founded, to ensure workplace safety. Quest analysis of lab data also found that the drug positivity rate for the overall U.S. workforce remained at a record high of 4.6%, up from a low of 3.5% between 2010 and 2012. As of April of 2024, recreational marijuana is legal in 24 states, or nearly half the country, according to the Pew Research Center. Workers typically used one of two methods to foil an employer's drug testing protocols: substituting their urine specimens by replacing them with synthetic formulas, or even animal urine, or submitting invalid specimens suggesting they've been tampered with in order to conceal drug use. Given the growing acceptance and use of some drugs, particularly marijuana, it may be unsurprising that some people feel it necessary to try and cheat a drug test, according to Dr. Hawani in the statement. He says it's possible that our society's normalization of drug use is fostering environments in which some employees feel it's acceptable to use such drugs without truly understanding the impact they have on workplace safety. Now, some experts have expressed concern about the findings, saying they underline a need to improve drug testing policies and procedures. One, Katie Mueller, saying drug tests are an important tool that employees have to keep everyone in the community safe. When policy and procedure fails us, or people make decisions to alter their tests for whatever reason, regarding the widening push to legalize cannabis, she also added that we need to have a really open dialogue with employees, employers, and lawmakers about the impacts of legalization and how it's trickling down to the workplace. Now, Dr. Hawani said that there could be better ways of testing employees and job candidates for drug use than relying on urine samples. For example, the U.S. Department of Transportation recently approved oral fluid testing to detect drug use in addition to using urine samples. Whereas the urine samples are submitted in a private space, oral fluids are collected directly by lab techs, and while drugs can take time to show up in donors' urine samples, they can be detected in saliva immediately after they're used. This was quite interesting to hear in regards to, you know, first of all, the states in which it is legal, almost half of the country, and now you are seeing a high increase in job usage, and we've seen more, too, in sports where unions are, with their collective bargaining agreements, starting to get the leagues to lighten up on certain portions of marijuana use because it is so prevalent now. Whereas, you know, there used to be a time where even if you had used it and a little was found in your system, you would get major suspensions and fines. Now it has kind of, you know, scaled back from that. But from a workplace perspective, my question to you is, should jobs now take a second look at relaxing some of the restrictions on what particular drugs employees use, or should there be a strengthening more on what employees do?
I mean, a little bit of both. Being in a state that does have legal marijuana use, I think there's a little bit, there's room for both. There's room for having a stronger policy for it, but then also having a stronger testing for it. Like, not necessarily stronger, like I can detect more, but stronger as in more defined. So I think there's room for both there. It just, we just really need to figure it out. And when they were saying, the person was saying, we really need to have an honest, open dialogue about this, that is exactly what, at least what I've been saying for many years. I've been to symposiums, I've been to conferences about marijuana legalization, marijuana use, having like marijuana lounges, odor control, crime rate, all of those things were talked about, but it was never sat down and like, all right, you've got somebody on your team that uses. For whatever reason, you're making it legal. So for, I don't care what reason, but they use. What now? What next? Like, nobody's asked those questions. And when those questions are asked, they're like, oh, we'll get to it when we get to it. That's not going to happen. Well, you can't use it. You can't use marijuana when you're in there. Okay, let's say I didn't use before I came to work, but I'm a habitual user after work. Do you really think that I'm not getting affected? Like, my work, my job performance is not being affected the next day if I'm habitually using it every night after work? Like, those are the questions that need to be asked, and those are the questions that need to be really looked at. But it's, I think there's room for allowing people to do what is legally okay to do.
Sort of. He's a habitual line stepper.
Yeah. Pretty much what he does.
Yeah, there's a lot. Here's the best part about it, and this is the only thing that I'm going to throw in. Everybody says that using marijuana is legal in certain states. It's not. It is still federal. It's still a federal law that is illegal. What's happening in the states is that they're, the way that they're quote-unquote legalizing it is that they're not making it a criminal offense for certain things. So they're turning a blind eye to it. But it is still, at the federal level, marijuana possession and use is still illegal. And those, that's the technicality of it.
Yeah.
But that's why I said there's room for both.
I love when people nowadays try to say, well, it's legal, so I should be able to do it anywhere. No. There's still laws.
It's not legal. It's just that that law enforcement has decided to decriminalize certain aspects of having it, and other aspects of it, they don't charge a felony. That's what it is. It's not that it's legal. It's just that it's like, okay, it's still against the rules to lie, or it's still against the rules to stay out till 10, but if you walk in at 10:05, I'm not going to, like, you know, say it's one of those.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to charge you for an extra soft, but since you're nice, I'm just going to give you one. Oops. It's one of those.
I'm amazed at what people still think what is, but yet it isn't, and yeah. But anyway,
okay.
So we are we're at the top of the hour. This is page one with Laura and Mary. Last week I promised you that we are going to have an expanded time of After Dark, which is what we're going to do in just a couple of moments. But I wanted to, before we went any further and before I forget about it, kind of want to go quickly through what is trending tonight, because it is Friday night. Pretty much on tonight, if you are here, a few of the things that's trending, besides, I know we talked about Diddy at the top of the show and what's going on there. SmackDown is trending. I know some of the quarterfinals of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament occurred tonight. I will not give that away. Also, trending tonight is a little bit of some sad news tonight. Word from Hollywood of the death of actor Dabney Coleman. If you remember him, he was in 9 to 5, Tootsie, The Muppets Take Manhattan. He was a fixture in a lot of movies, usually playing the lecherous or not so good guy. Dabney Coleman was 92.
Dang.
So yeah. So that was tonight. Earlier today, one of the things that trended, Billie Eilish was trending because she came out with her brand new album today. And I think at the same time, Taylor Swift came out with a new song as well, which was kind of odd, being that, you know, Taylor had just came out with her album a couple of weeks ago, and she decided to come out with another single today. But that was kind of interesting. And then also trending tonight is Game 7, as the Indiana Pacers defeated the New York Knicks, who were leading 3-2 in that best-of-seven series. Goes back to the Garden for Game 7. The first Game 7 between those two teams since a young man by the name of Reggie Miller and Patrick Ewing were playing for their respective teams. So that goes to Game 7. And then that pretty much it. Those are all of the things that was trending today. So for more, I'm sure that you can always look online. And as always, I'll tell you to do your research and don't believe some of the first things that you see. But it is what it is. Oh, also trending today, and I'm not sure if you guys saw it. I'm not sure if you can explain American politics to some people, but if you haven't seen it over the last 24 hours, and this is what kind of makes me mad, and I'm not going to get too much into it tonight because it will make me even more mad, but Texas Representative Jasmine Crockett was trending because of a little bit of a run-in scuffle that she had with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I can't speak for Mary, but I kind of hold Marjorie Taylor Greene in the same respect that I hold Lauren Boebert. and if you have not seen it, I will say, to give you a synopsis, is that Marjorie Taylor Greene tried to write a check that she couldn't cash, and she wound up probably, yeah, she doesn't look good on the other end, but of course people will swerve it any way they want to and tell you that she was the one that was attacked when she was the one that made a comment that was bad in itself towards Representative Crockett, who, if you've seen her before, takes no mess from anyone and doesn't care who you are, which I love about which I love about her. So you definitely have to catch it online. It is 3 minutes of probably someone tried to do something, and then they got taken down by not only one person, but two, as Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez jumped in as well, and it did not go well for for her. So, yeah, but that was trending as well. So with that, here's what we're going to do. As we always tell you, this section of the night with the After Dark Conversation is intended for a mature audience. If you have kids, this is of a sometimes frank and explicit nature. So what I'll do is I will here's what I'll do. Excuse me. I will go ahead and we'll do a quick retro, and we'll be right back. And I'll clear my voice and some. We'll be right back.
Okay.
I see E, I see E,
I see E, I see E,
the frozen carbonated drink. Your favorite fountain flavor is icy cold.
Looks like sherbet.
Tastes so bold.
I see E. It freezes in the cup to last and last. The only frozen carbonated drink in the world.
Have you tried one yet? Icy, we mean. The coolest, keenest, coldest drink in town. Yours exclusively at 7-Eleven stores. It doesn't pour. It gurgles into the cup. You really don't drink it. You slurp it up. It's the hottest cold drink going, and you can get one now at any 7-Eleven store. It's Florida's new fun drink, frozenated icy, fantastic, and in flavors.
The only frozen carbonated drink in the world.
Buy an icy today at 7-Eleven.
All right. Hopefully my voice holds up. Don't know what the heck happened there. Welcome back to page one. I hate when that happens, but it's kind of like the voice just kind of gets strangled on you. Anyway, I digress. So After Dark tonight, we have quite a few topics for you. I wanted to start first because I know if there's one thing that we all love on this show, we love surveys. Because that usually means a guesstimate of just how much portions of the country kind of act. But there was a interesting survey that came out, and it was a survey on the state that appears to have the most OnlyFans creators in the nation. Do you know? I'll give you a clue. What you think it may be is not.
Okay.
And now I just threw you for a loop.
Yes, yes, you did. Okay, let's try this again. The state with the
most OnlyFans creators in the U.S.
Most OnlyFans creators in the U.S. And it's not who you should. Because the first thing I thought was California. And then I thought, okay, now Nevada. Those are going to be the two top ones that was in my first thing. But you said no. So
no. Now
I'm Utah?
No.
North Dakota. Alaska.
No. You would be sitting here guessing all night, and you would probably get it within
30. One of the 50 is in there.
Huh?
One of the 50 states is in there. It's not Wyoming, is it? Is Wyoming doesn't exist.
No, it's not Wyoming. It is not. Surprisingly, it's not Wyoming. We know about the folks in Wyoming. But no, the state is Connecticut. The Constitution state appears to have the most OnlyFans creators in the nation, according to a new research into the adults-only subscription site. The sex toy company Bed Bible used the search engine OnlySearch to scour through OnlyFans profiles searching for keywords. They found that Connecticut was the state that returned the highest number of results, with 2,464 accounts, according to the Daily Mail. 97% of those accounts are based in and around the city of New Haven, each earning a median of $427 per month, according to a spokesperson from Bed Bible. I know you're still shocked over there. Nevada was the state with the second highest number of users per the report. That may come as no surprise, given that it's home to Las Vegas and Sin City is one of the country's porn hotspots. Used to be Los Angeles, but not anymore. Hawaii, North Dakota, Maine, Iowa, New Hampshire, Indiana, Florida, and Colorado rounded out the top 10. It's interesting to see a few smaller states such as North Dakota and Hawaii in the ranking. Due to their size, there are more limited job opportunities in these states, especially in more remote or rural areas, which could drive individuals towards alternate forms of income, such as OnlyFans. However, one expert says the data only gives a generalized overview and could be inaccurate. An assistant professor of computer science at Georgetown University told the Daily Mail that creators often don't list their location due to safety concerns. Additionally, other creators list states in which they don't actually live, which could further skewer the data. Meanwhile, the report revealed that OnlyFans creators from South Carolina made the most money on average, netting a considerable $1,460 per month from their profiles.
I was shaking my head at first, but like really, but then I started to think about it. Connecticut was one. New Hampshire. Those areas actually have very loose entity laws. So you can form a business in those two states in a basically a file drawer.
Hmm. Interesting.
And not be located in those states. So that actually makes sense if they go by, like, ownership records.
Well, speaking of OnlyFans, well, not OnlyFans, but I was going to say, speaking of kinky, the Paris Olympics is coming up soon, and anti-sex beds have arrived at the Paris Olympics after horny athletes admit to orgies amid competition. There will be no lovemaking in the City of Love, as the anti-sex beds have arrived in Paris ahead of 2024 games, with their materials and small size allegedly aimed at deterring athletes from getting kinky during the competition. The bed's twin size means there's no room for the competitors to sidle up together. The beds are manufactured by Airweave, which also made the products for the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. The beds, if you want to know, according to Inside the Games, sustainability is cited as the primary reason why Olympic officials opted for the beds this year. The mattresses and cardboard frames are 100% recyclable. They say that they hope that Paris's efforts to reduce its impact will show that it's possible to do things differently. Over the years, stories about wild sex occurring during the Olympics among athletes has abounded in the media. Table tennis player Matthew Syed previously told the Times of London that he had a debaucherous time at the 92 games in Barcelona, saying that he got laid more often in those 2.5 weeks than the rest of his life. At the 2012 games in London, one anonymous athlete admitted to having a foursome with a male teammate and two women at the Olympic Village, according to the Mirror. However, it's unlikely cardboard beds will stop Olympians from fornicating, with one competitor claiming a hot tub orgy took place one year. The Mirror also cites a U.S. two-time gold medalist as saying that he's seen people having sex right out in the open on the grass between buildings. People are getting down and dirty. I don't think that's going to really stop anybody, but I guess question is, why wait until the Olympics when you probably could have had sex before you left for the Olympics? Or is it just the whole thing of hooking up with somebody that you probably aren't going to see again?
There you go. That's it. The Olympics are a chance to hook up with people from different countries. And they're all athletically inclined. So, I mean, they're all top of their game. Why not, you know?
I mean,
I'm not upset about it. And I'm not even – the only thing that I'm upset about is that there are some Olympians that are under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are the only ones that I'd be worried about. Anybody else? Anything over 18? See you later. Bye. Have fun. You're consenting adults. Don't care. Don't bring your diseases.
Right.
Make sure you get their phone numbers later, so that if you do get a disease, you remember who you got it from.
I was going to say a joke about a country, but I'm not going to do that because we have a lot of listeners from other countries. I won't say that.
Some of you sexy accents. Here comes the Olympics.
Yeah. I tell you, man. What's the city of love without love? So... have you ever thought about selling really, really personal things on PayPal? Well,
I was going to say, what kind of personal things?
Well, I'm going to tell you. One of the internet's most popular creators says that PayPal fined her after she had a viral bathwater sale in 2019. Belle Delphine made headlines and propelled her online career by selling her used bathwater, but now she says the stunt lost money. PayPal fined her more than $90,000 after she went viral for selling a non-traditional personal item. She had already developed a significant following as a live streamer, and she became an internet sensation in 2019 after she sold out of $30 bottles of her used Gamer Girl bathwater in 3 days. The move helped catapult her into a new level of stardom, which she later parlayed into even more success as an adult content creator. She said that the viral moment hadn't been as lucrative as she had claimed. She said on X that she actually lost money on the stunt and that PayPal is to blame. She says, since it's been a couple of years now, I can finally share the biggest L I've ever taken. Of course, taking an L is slang for taking a loss, and if you didn't know that, I don't know what to tell you. She says that not only did I not earn any money selling my bathwater, in fact, I lost money. PayPal, without warning, closed my PayPal account and took the $90,000 that I earned from selling my bathwater. There was nothing I could do. I tried phoning them, and they just said, sorry, nothing we could do. She included a screenshot that showed a transaction which PayPal took over that from her account in May of 2021, 2 years after she sold the used bathwater. She later posted that the screenshot showed the company withdrawing money from her account. She didn't respond to requests for comment. A PayPal spokesperson sent a statement to NBC News, for privacy reasons, we cannot comment on specific accounts. Now, the allegation adds to those made by some creators, most notably those who toe the line on sexually suggestive content, who say that major internet platforms often take action against their content with little warning or reason. Now, PayPal has rules around sexually oriented goods and services. It says it allows U.S.-based transactions only for physical goods such as videos, DVDs, and magazines. Delphine, who is based in the United Kingdom, wrote in a follow-up post that she isn't sure which term of service she broke and doesn't know whether it has to do with the bathwater specifically. PayPal didn't clarify which term of service she broke. So, yes.
If you can't even say which one you broke, then come on.
Yeah.
It is a good. It's a good service. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and PayPal fined her $2,500 for each sale. She said that the negative $90,000 balance was a result of the fines or in addition to money withheld for sales. PayPal doesn't mention the $2,500 penalty in its current acceptable use policy. But, yeah. So don't sell your used bathwater no matter how much people want that.
Or do it over on OnlyFans.
Yes, just do it through there. Or I have to send, I'm not going to give you all ideas. So I wanted to talk about something which was an article that originally was for and about guys, but this was actually something that I think kind of goes both ways. And I'm going to ask you and put you on the spot tonight with this question. But this for the New York Post in their sex and relationships article, it says that men are most likely to be friends if they don't share the same taste in women. Mates before dates, but only if your mate doesn't fancy your date. Men are more likely to be friends if they don't share the same taste in women, new research has shown, highlighting how competition for the fairer sex can cause friction in male relationships. The study published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships found that the same wasn't true for female friendships, however. According to the findings, a woman's taste preference in men had no bearing on whether or not she gets along with another female. This study provides the first evidence that men's mate preferences may influence their attitudes towards new potential friends at zero acquaintance, according to the lead researcher Kelly Campbell. For the study, Campbell and her team recruited 38 college students who hailed from Southern California. 20 were male and 18 were female. All participants were straight. The participants were each shown 20 photos of the opposite sex and asked to rank them from most to least attractive. 10 of the images were of celebrities, while 10 strangers were of strangers, as it says. Afterward, the participants partook in a three-hour speed friending session held separately for men and women. Each participant met and interacted with each other for 3 minutes before completing a short survey to evaluate their friendship attraction. Interestingly, when analyzing the surveys, researchers noticed a trend among men. They were more likely to have higher friendship attraction with males who did not share their taste preferences in women. The same trend was not observed in the female participants. Given the small size of the participant group, the academics say a larger scale study is needed to confirm the results of their research. I think there is, I would say, as a guy, a minor truth to that, but usually if it is someone that is off the charts good looking, there's always a chance that both guys are going to have the same attraction. So I don't know where that kind of came from, the study that guys are not going to be friends with guys. You know, probably, you know, now, if you are, there are some guy friends that you have to watch. especially if they don't show a regard for other people. But at that point, you kind of already know who that guy is. And you pretty much already, quote unquote, make sure that he understands that that is off limits to the no-no. So I would think it would happen more, too, among women, because there's always that, among the group of females, there's always that one woman in the group that is the Blanche of the Golden Girls, who probably just like that guy, doesn't really have any boundaries and is very flirtatious and tries to see just how much they can get away with. I guess my question is that, would you base your friendships off of someone who had the same taste in the opposite sex that you do?
Not consciously. Like, that's not something that I go. Like, when I'm making friends with people, like, I don't make friends with a lot of people. I'm very friendly with a lot of people, but to really be my friend, there's a lot of effort that goes into it. That's my fault. But to be really good friends with someone, it's not like, oh, do you think so-and-so's directive? Like I said, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Kidding. But yeah. But not consciously. I would not go, if somebody's like, oh, yeah, I think he's hot, and I'd be like, yeah, I think he's hot too. Okay. Okay.
It has not happened to me, but like I said, there has to be that one person that you kind of always have to, like, I'm not sure if you ever heard the OJ song Backstabbers.
No,
they smile in your face
haven't.
All the time they want to take your place. So you out there know. It is reminiscent of that song. And I was like, and if you have a friend that has no boundaries and is looking to always hit on your significant other, and you both like the person, of course you do because you're with them, yeah, that's kind of an issue. But for guys, I think it's the same way. I don't think that we're really aware of it, because guys have so many different fleeting likes. You know, there's generally like the same like, but it's generally for somebody that's like untouchable, that they're both never going to be able to date, like a celebrity. You know, if
both guys,
you know, have the same, you know, lust for a Kim Kardashian, you know, it's kind of like, none of you are never going to date her, so what do you got to worry about, you know? But if you both are in a group of friends and both of you like another friend, I can see where that could cause a little bit of drama, because at that point, that could affect the relationship or the friendship if one of those people beats you to the punch and starts dating said other person. That could happen, because then at that point, somebody will be like, well, you kind of knew how I felt about him. You still went ahead and did this, and I can't trust anybody that would do that to me. That could happen, which I'm sure can happen with women, too.
Absolutely. But I don't think it's a conscious, like, do you think this person is attractive? Yeah, I can't help you.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a conscious thing.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, I think when I look at that study, I'm like, I don't think it's more or less conscious. Like, she chose college people. College people, anything's fair game to them if they're not with somebody. You could be
a cardboard box, yeah.
Right, I mean, five guys in a group, all of them like the same girl, all of them know that the other likes the same girl, but somebody's going to try harder than the other five to be the first one. And at that point, you know, those guys are going to be like, oh, man, you know, So a little bit different than I think a bunch of 30 or 40 year olds. At that point, you kind of know better. And yeah, I would say is if we all like the same woman and someone came along and knowing that I had stronger feelings about it, and just for the sake of doing it, just went ahead and like put themselves out there and beat me to the punch. Yeah, you're going to look at that person a little differently. And you're going to say, well, if you're going to do it for that, what else are you going to do it for? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, also on the dating front, when it comes to dating, she may mean business. A New York woman has proven to be the ultimate wing woman after creating hundreds of dating business cards for her single friend, which she said is a great icebreaker. She detailed her pickup tactic in a video with nearly a 500,000 views on TikTok. Nally Abertamarco captioned the clip, which shows the content creator and her friends handing out the catcalling cards like flyers. She says, "I won't stop until she finds a husband." The printed personals include a picture of her bestie, to remain anonymous, a QR code linking to her buddy's social media, and a bio about her pal. As she describes in the clip's caption, she rocks and deserves someone who thinks this is hilarious. The East Village native, who frequently documents her life in the Big Apple on TikTok, originally dreamt up the idea in 2022 as a secret Santa gift for her best friend, according to the Southwest News Service. The post reached out to her for additional comment. She said that she wanted to make a gift that would be useful but get a giggle from her friends. And she described her pal as super outgoing with an incredible personality. She hoped that the business cards would showcase both her friend's serious career traits as well as her playful side, thereby increasing her value in the romantic marketplace. She says, "I love my friend so much, and I wanted people to see what I see in her, and I thought this would be the best way." She spent $20 to print out 500 of these brick-and-mortar dating profiles. She says she was shocked that she didn't think she was expecting anything like what she gave her. And the influencer said that the duo then paraded around New York City, handing out the cards to people she thought were cute. While the unorthodox pickup tactic has yet to bear fruit, Abertamarco doesn't regret her decision the slightest. She says it was a great icebreaker. She didn't go on any formal dates, but it was a lot of makes out. Everything's so much better when we go out. It always ended up in a funny situation. She said, "If I was single, I would definitely use these. I'm going to print out some more." She also previously made headlines for taking up babysitting to earn money amid inflation. And it isn't the first time to revert to unorthodox guy fishing tactics in the age of digital dating. Last month, a professed proud gold digger, Carolina Geddes, took dating ads to new heights after expressing her desire for a wealthy husband over an airplane intercom. So while she claims that stuff like that may seem like a pinching ground of gimmicks, she shuns the matchmaking apps and says she will go at it the way in which she will go at it. But what do you think about someone using business cards as a way to attract dates?
Bravo for being creative. I don't know. I'm a little iffy about that, but hey, you know, if it works, it works, I guess. Again?
It back pre in your dating days, was it something that you would think about doing?
No, God, no. But, you know, I'm not mad at it. I guess that's where I'm at. It's like, I'm not mad at it, but I don't know that I would do it. Maybe back in, like, you know, when I had a pager. For those uninformed, those are the little boxes that you called and left in numbers for people to call you back from. They were all the rage in the 90s. Mostly in the 90s. Maybe. Yeah, maybe I'm just mad because I didn't think of it first.
Well, I have
for a good
very
time
odd,
call.
Yeah. I have a very odd Game of Cross, and I don't even know if I want to do this. You know, well, it's after that. We're all adults. This is not something
speak
out of
for yourself. I said speak for yourself.
Well, when you hear it, it's a very odd story. But anyway, I can't even believe I'm about to do this story. A Florida woman.
Gotta love Florida.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Okay, you asked for it. A Florida woman bonded with her husband by breastfeeding him, and they've considered another child just so that they can keep it going. Rachel Bailey, 31, and her husband, Alexander, have been grieving their non-traditional bonding method since their youngest son stopped breastfeeding and Rachel stopped producing breast milk. She says, I was breastfeeding both my son and my husband, and then one day my son was just no longer interested in my breast milk at all. I continued feeding Alexander for about 2 weeks, but it was like my body knew that my son no longer needed the milk and it was all gone. They considered having a fourth child so that they could get their breastfeeding experience back, but ultimately decided they should look for other ways to bond. She says, we realized that was drastic action to take and a lot of work. So instead, we began looking for other ways that we could bond as a couple. The couple now wakes up at 5 a.m. every day to meditate and have time together before the day begins. She says, we get up each morning at 5 before the craziest of the day and enjoy the calmness of the early morning. We chat, meditate, and just breathe. She also started some business. They said, we also started some business ventures together, so that has been a new fun way for us to bond. Ever since Rachel first shared that she breastfeeds her husband, after feeding her baby, she has gotten odd requests. I still have people ask me every day if they can buy my breast milk. I have even had people asking if they can meet up with me so I can breastfeed them too, she said. We had lots of requests from people asking us to make videos of ourselves breastfeeding, but we never considered it, although I'm sure the money would have been nice. But Rachel insisted breastfeeding was never a sexual thing for her and her husband. They did it because it was an amazing way for us to bond and share something special as a couple. The couple gets a lot of trolls and hate comments on the internet, but they don't let it bother them. They've only ever received hate online, never in person. She says, when people see us in person, they're usually really nice and understanding about it, which is the main thing. We really miss the breastfeeding ties that we share, but we found new ways to connect. I see you shaking your head over there.
So weird. People are
so
weird.
If your significant other asks.
No. That's a no. That's a no for me, dog. Like, that's not even a no. Like, I am not against having a good time in the breast area. Like, I'm not against that, but no. No. No, I
it's
there's a line.
A no for me, dog.
Yeah.
Definitely a no.
How do you even like break the ice on that?
People are weird. Hey, can I try that? That's probably how that worked. It's like, can I try that?
I don't even. Wow.
Yeah.
That's something that you just don't even share outside of the bedroom, I would think.
Yeah, the thing that they did wrong was actually let people know that they did it.
Yeah. You think?
That was the first thing they did wrong. Keep that to yourself.
Yeah. Just now I wish I had never heard the story. I mean, excuse my French, but that's a grown-ass man. I can understand if it was, like, not that, and it was other things that one usually does behind closed doors, but to say, hey, are you done with our son yet? It's my turn next. If I'm a psychiatrist, I'm kind of thinking that you have some detachment issues or something with women stemming from your childhood. just thought.
Are you saying that that man has mama issues?
I
people have daddy issues, so why not mommy issues?
I didn't say it. I'm just saying. There's a couple of dual stories to this. One which was kind of a cool idea, but of course, as usual, a cool idea is always ruined by somebody. So earlier in the week, a story came out that a viral portal, a virtual portal, connecting New York City and Dublin opened, and it turned into a hotspot for strangers looking to make connections across the thousands of miles. Streaming live throughout the summer at the busy junction of Fifth Avenue, Broadway, and 23rd Street in Manhattan, the scheduled cultural programming appeared to have been preempted by a whole lot of flirting. My immediate thought was this would be the perfect love story, according to Allie Weber-Heavey, as she told the Post. And she thought she would quickly pass by to check out the new portal on her way home from work, but found herself compelled to stick around and size up the horde of Dublinites peering back at her. She said it really stopped her in her tracks. It was honestly a feeling she had never felt before. And she went viral when she posted a TikTok showing herself standing in the crowd, plus a group of young Irishmen in the portal with the audio clip saying, "You look lonely, I could fix that." She hastened to add that she already had a boyfriend, but she couldn't help but think about the portal's potential for the perfect meeting spot. She wasn't the only one. Singletons looking for a fresh dating way have been observed crowding around a 24/7 virtual live stream, which is essentially an ongoing video call to spot cuties, throw up heart hands, hold up signs with their social media handles, and even exchange numbers. That all went well until the OnlyFans model got it shut down. She claimed that she was responsible for a cool new portal in New York being shut down, all because she showed off her goods. Ava Louise took credit for the pause handed down by the portals organization this week. Of course, we can all have nice things, which is where she enters the chat. There's video going around. It shows her flashing her breasts to folks on the other side, just one of several different stunts people have pulled. And now it appears the portal is shut down for the time being, which she says is all her doing. She posted a separate video that shows what she says is her boyfriend trying to use the exhibit later on, and he's confronted by an apparent handler who tells him that the portal was turned off and it will remain off for some time as a result of inappropriate behavior. She thinks it's mostly her doing, but frankly, she's just been the tip of the iceberg. There have been a ton of other randoms over the week who were showing off just as equally shocking material, including porn, the Twin Towers Up in Smoke, etc. Reports indicate that some Dublinites were also particularly showing off crazy stuff, but the Americans were certainly doing their fair share, and now it looks like the whole party's over for now. Even before the shutdown, there were rumblings of issues with the portal not working and glitching out, so technical difficulties, it seems. It's unclear if it will be up and running, but this actually is kind of a pretty cool thing, I think.
Have you seen the video?
I saw the video.
Have you seen the fact that she did that and jumped around and did the whole fun stuff, right? Which is fine, whatever.
And she didn't even have tassels.
Like, she, it was, the one I saw, maybe it's not the same video. This video I saw was of a woman who was flashing the screen, jumping around and jiggling in front of it, right? And a bunch of Dublin people sitting there in a pub or wherever the portal is that they're sitting at, staring back with no expression on their face, not even a giggle or a laugh or a, oh my God, or any of those. It was just the look was not even, I described the look of, yeah, I've seen better. I was just like, meh.
Like, you see the bears.
I see that every Friday night. You should see Uncle. You should see Uncle Fester doing his what's the guy from Goonies? His truffle shuffle.
Yeah.
looks like Uncle Mike's on the tube again. You know, like that was the look, and it was great. And also ridiculous. I was just like, I love it. I love the fact that the response was like, that was a few minutes of just what should have been like, oh my gosh, or shocking or whatever. And all it was Look at people like,
I don't know what's I don't know what's worse, that you got nothing or
you got stuff. But here's the thing, the people in the U.S. were laughing and joking about the people in Dublin, which were what that person was trying to get the rise out of, were like, meh.
Oh, she got nothing.
Robert!
Yeah. Nothing at all. Oh,
nothing at all.
So
it was funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. But that's why we can't have nice things. There's always somebody that comes along. But even then, why would you want to admit to that?
Come on. Now stop and think about this for a second. Do you really think if you're going to put a screen out that's live streaming and there's nobody else and it's just like, hey, you know, connect with somebody on the other side of the world, but penises and boobs were not going to end up on screen at some point? That is a given. We are not innocent. People will do, they will push that envelope. It may not have been a penis or a boob to begin with, but it was going to get there.
I guess the next stop for her will be Mardi Gras 2025.
Here's what she should have done. And next time the portal opens up, ladies, feel free to take this as, you know, your thing to do if you want. You can have it. She should have put her OnlyFans website across the nipples.
Mm-hmm. Smart advertising.
Just saying. If you're going to advertise, advertise right.
Yep. Well, before we call it a night, I got time for one story from the Smoking Gun Files. I didn't have two, but I got one. We'll do the other one next week. This one from... Well, it's from the city of Rock Rapids, which I think is somewhere.
Is that near Rock Ridge?
Yeah, Rock Ridge. But an intoxicated motorist who was pulled over for driving erratically on an Iowa road provided police with a state ID. Problem was that it advised that the defendant was 8 feet tall, according to the criminal complaint. Investigators say that Joel Valeda was behind the wheel of a 2016 Ford Focus that was all over the road Sunday as the vehicle traveled in the city of Rock Rapids. During a subsequent police stop, officers charged that Valeda showed several signs of intoxication and had an open can of beer in his car. It possessed methamphetamine, a portable breath test returned an over-the-per-limit result. When asked for identification, he gave police a Minnesota ID card. According to the complaint, the computer check of the name and number of the ID, it turned up no return, which probably came as little surprise to police, who noticed that the phony ID advertises the defendant was 8 feet tall. He's actually 5'8". He was arrested on several charges, including narcotics possession, operating a vehicle while intoxicated, and providing cops with a false ID. Additionally, a warrant check showed that he was wanted in another Iowa county for failure to appear in court on an earlier OWI rap. He is currently locked up in the Lyon County Jail in advance of a May 23rd court hearing. So, yes, that 8 feet tall kind of threw you off. And with that, the old clock on the wall is telling us that we are just about out of time for this evening. So I will ask you if you have any shout-outs for tonight.
I do. I have my nephew's birthday was this week.
So hey, happy birthday
to him. He's obviously not old enough to listen to After Dark, so he's just going to have to believe I said it. it was also his golden birthday. It was. I don't know. Do you celebrate golden birthdays? Do you know what that is?
Is it at the day that you were born on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The year and the age on the day that you were born. So.
Yeah. I. Don't
if
remember
you were born
ever.
Today.
I don't think we even cared about that. It was just a birthday at that point. So,
like, why are you even? Why? Yeah.
Might as well been a long time ago anyway.
Right. Absolutely. So I said something about golden birthdays here, and they're like, what on earth are you talking about, lady? You are weird. But so I just thought maybe it was a my family thing. But anyway, it was his golden birthday. And then it is my sister's anniversary coming up this week. So happy anniversary to them. I'm so glad that they are still together. They are a great couple. And, like, love them, heart their faces, like, bursting out of my chest cavity. Lots of love for them. So those are my big two this week. And then I have my nieces coming up too.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy birthdays, happy anniversaries. And yeah, enjoy. This is that time of year where we got birthdays, anniversaries, we've got weddings, we've got graduations. We got everything going on. It's a season of celebrations. Mm-hmm. So I hope that with all of you doing that you do it in good spirit and safely and just have fun. Don't be that one party pooper. No clock on the wall is telling us that we're out of time. We thank you for listening, as always. You can catch every show that we do here on Blog Talk Radio, also streaming on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, soon.
Sometimes Twitch.
Soon to be over on Twitch a little bit more. So please follow News Comment Blog or Lou Eyes Mama. And who knows, we will see you over there. So in closing, for Mary, I'm LeVar. As always, take care of yourselves and each other. And we will see you next time here on Page One. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Thanks for listening to Page One.
Page One. Page One.
Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at NewsCommentBTR and add us as a podcast on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms where we can be found.